Okay, we'll call the meeting back to order. Okay, please rise for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Please join me in a brief moment of silence for any of those we may have lost recently or those you may wish to remember. Thank you. Roll call, please.
Director Sasania.
Here.
Director Ohilski.
Yes.
Director Tornatsky.
Here.
Vice President Millage.
Here.
President Storm.
Here.
Thank you.
Well, good evening. I hope everybody can bear with me. I had abdominal surgery this week. In an effort to be lucid for this meeting, I have not medicated myself this afternoon, so I'm going to do my best here. I'd like to make a note on the agenda of a couple of, actually just one thing at this point, on item 11G. That should be an item authorizing board president to send a letter opposing SB, as in Senate Bill 496, not Assembly Bill 496. Assembly Bill 496 has already passed and been signed into law. You may be noticing that at the pump. Okay, so with that, we'll have the report out of closed session.
There was no reportable action in closed session.
All right, thank you. So with that, what we're going to do now is have what we've called a public workshop on the proposed water rate increase. We wanted to have a forum to sort of go over what's going on, what the basis of the rate increase is for, and what we're trying to accomplish with those. And so we won't be making any decision with this, but we will be taking public comment after we do the report. So Director Sasana, would you like to take
sure.
this? All right. Thank you.
Good evening. Nice to see so many people out tonight. The Utility Advisory Committee has been looking at a rate study for the past couple of months, and basically this is all going to come down to one central fact, and that is back in 2014 we had a consultant prepared rate study that predicted that due to drought situation arising that we would see a cut in consumption by 5% in this community. And that's what we based those 2014 rates on. This community stepped up big time, and we cut consumption 25 to 30%. Needless to say, we didn't come anywhere near the revenue targets that the consultant expected that we would hit. We have been managing to meet our operating and maintenance budget and pay back our loans for some of the infrastructure that we have completed over the past 5 or 6 years, but we've been spending our reserves down to keep up with the capital improvement projects that are necessary as part of the basin management plan. As you know, a couple years ago, we finally had the 8-10-year adjudication confirmed by a court. All the water districts in town and the county are involved in an adjudication of our water basin, basically that started when the sewer project was proposed. We're ahead of the curve because every groundwater basin now in the state has to have a management plan. We've got ours done, and we're ready to start implementing projects. But the CSD has been spending down our reserve revenue to keep those projects moving ahead, and we can't continue that way. So that's the basics behind the 218 notice that you got not too long ago. Now, we handed out tonight a set of slides that go in depth into the analysis behind the rate increase, what the expected revenues are, what the increase in a monthly bill would be, and actually I think a two-month increase, the average bill. And we're looking at $35 to $40. That's the very, very last slide, page 3 of that handout. The very, very last slide gets down to the bottom line of how it's going to affect households. You'll see the current amount for people who are using 12 units, $107, would go up to $141 next year, and then the increases in the year after that. And then we compare our current rates with other entities around. And I don't have a slideshow for this whole presentation tonight. What we kind of wanted to find out is what the questions might be on here, whether we could answer them all tonight. Do we need a town hall meeting to really go over this in depth? I mean, how deep do we want to get down into understanding the reserve policies that we have? I mean, basically, I can touch on those pretty briefly. We like a capital, a contingency reserve, about 60% of our annual operating and maintenance budget. We have a rate stabilization reserve, about 10% of that annual budget. Those are to get us through these past couple years, the bumps that we've had. The revenue that we expected didn't come in, and those reserves help us through those times. So that's kind of what I had planned. Now, I'll answer questions on any of these slides, and if there's any particular thing that you want to know about. But that's the basics behind why the rate increase is needed. The Basin Management Plan has a whole series of well projects, interties with Golden State, different things that we've been accomplishing and some that we still need to do. Those are the things that we need to accomplish beyond keeping the lights on and the water served. We've got to increase some of our improve some of our infrastructure. Everybody knows about saltwater intrusion. It has not abated, even though we've cut water use by half of what we pumped in 1999. This district uses half the water we did 18 years ago, and we still have saltwater intrusion coming in. So the drought isn't over here. The headlines seem to imply that we're a little bit behind the times because everybody else is easing up on drought restrictions. But for this groundwater basin, we don't know what the future holds. So I don't really have anything else planned. Marshall? Sure.
Yeah, just as the chair of the Financial Advisory Committee, we did have a joint meeting with the Utility Advisory Committee when we went over this rate study. So we did have that joint meeting. So both committees did look at this. And that was the recommendation, unanimous recommendation of both committees, that we proceed forward with this. But I think one important thing to note is that Chuck mentioned the seawater intrusion, and unlike other water districts in the county or in the state, we don't have any water source that's water that comes from the sky, for lack of a better term. Everything's coming from underground out of our aquifer. So like in Cambria or Morro Bay or San Luis Obispo or whatever other entity you want to name, they've got water. When it rains, they can recharge their water facilities. We do not have that ability. We have an aquifer, and as Chuck mentioned, with the reduction in consumption, the seawater intrusion has slowed down, but it is still continuing, and it's our sole source of water. I mean, that's just the simple fact. So I just wanted to add those two things on top of what you said, Chuck.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Director Cesena, Director Hilsky. I also wanted to compliment Director Cesena on his well-written letter to the editor. Really lays this out for us. My feeling is that the basically comes down to this. These are the things we need to do in order to have water in the future. It's been a long time planning this. I regret that our last rate study didn't get us the revenue that we thought it would. And this time we did a community-based committee doing it instead of hiring an outside consultant. And I think the results are good. There's a lot of needles to thread on something like this. We also have legal requirements we have to observe in terms of how we do the rates. And it's a delicate dance with that and conserving and promoting conservation. So what I'll do now is I'll open it for public comment or questions. You can have 3 minutes, and when you're done, would you like to take them one at a time, or what would you like to do? Take them at the end?
Let's take them at the end.
Okay.
Let's take them at the
end. So if you have a question, it looks like Director Sassano will write it down.
Yep.
And we'll do our best to answer the questions about the rate study. So with that, I'll open up public comment.
Hi. I'm Mike Bryant. I moved here approximately a year ago, and we live in Paradise. I acknowledge that. The cost of living in Paradise can be high. I acknowledge that. I've looked over all of the materials that you've given me tonight and in the mail earlier this week. Everything looks perfect, except for one thing. In the summary of recommended water rates by fiscal year report, that little graphic right there. I'm a Tier 1 user. I have a small house and a wife. My child is an adult. She's grown. She's gone. So it's just the two of us. We're Tier 1 people. We're going to experience a fourfold increase in our water rates over the course of this 3 years. Okay? What I see is the people in Tier 4 are going to experience a 25% increase. I'm not understanding why I, as a small water user, am being penalized so much more than the bigger water users. It's like we're encouraging people to use more water. I understand that you guys get more money the more water that they use, but that's not fair. And I was wondering if you could address that so that I can at least begin to understand your point of view, because I'm not seeing the fairness here.
Thank you. Yes, we can address that.
Absolutely.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and Chuck used the phrase ahead of the curve with our basin plan, which is great. What we are behind the curve is in the publicity and the education that goes along with the rate increase. When we characterize the consultant's estimate of 5% decrease due to conservation in that rate study, and that the district exceeded that, we have to also put into context that the community had already done a tremendous amount of conservation. I don't think anyone thought we could do this much. And so congratulations to all of us who have conserved water. Your press release, and this is where I get into the details, your press release speaks to the district administration and the cost allocations, and those of us that have been going to all the meetings, we called it the 80-10-10 for a time. That's 80% water, 10% fire, and 10% to the other funds. You, in your rate increase, in your press release, pardon me, describe the other 10. The other funds, it's already chosen 6% to drainage, 1% to Vista, 1%, 1.5% to Bay Ridge, and 1.5% to parks. Those numbers were not discussed, and you have not adopted that yet. So I don't know if that's helpful to have that as part of the education. And I think anytime you're asking for the ratepayers to increase their contribution, you have to give something in kind, in that you're going to cut costs somewhere. You got to show them that you are lean and mean, and you know we're doing less things here at the district. We don't do garbage and we don't do wastewater, and we do very little lighting. And so what have you cut? Because your staff is the same all these years. So, and if I'm wrong, please correct me, but I think you have to show the ratepayer that you're willing to cut something to make their dollar go further.
Thank you. Any other questions or comments on the rate study?
I also wanted to comment on the, my name is Steve Best. I also want to comment on the rate structure. I feel that the rate structure is weighted unfairly to the one tier, the first tier level, because it taxes the people that are conserving the most to pay the most, and the people that have the most affluent that can pay the most are being increased the least. The people that are having to put buckets in their showers so that they can save water to put into their gardens and things like that are still going to be relegated to keeping those buckets in their showers so that they won't be able to use regular water out of their hose bibs to water their gardens any longer, instead of letting that water go back through the shower, back to the sewer plant, and back to serving other needs. So I think it's an unfair, disproportional rate increase, and it should be weighted more proportionally, at least evenly across the tiers, or weighted to tier four to the heavier increases. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? So I'll just jump in here real fast, and then I'll turn it over to Director Cesena. I agree that the tier one versus tier four, the costs are disproportionate. I agree that they discourage conservation the way we would like. The reason for this is that this is California, and the voters in our infinite wisdom passed Proposition 218 20 years ago, and Court of Appeal, in its wisdom in Southern California, decided that these rate tiers have to be connected with the actual cost of providing service with respect to how we use them. This incensed the state attorney general, the governor, all sorts of people in the legislature, but unfortunately Prop 218 is part of the California state constitution, so unless and until that gets amended, or unless and until this law is changed by a higher court, it's the law of the land. And in fact, there's a number of other cases throughout California that are suing districts for not having the right record on their tiers. So I would just say that for my part, speaking on my own behalf, I certainly agree that it's unfortunate that we don't have it in a more progressive conservation encouraging thing, but we have to go with what the engineering says, or else we risk drawing a taxpayer lawsuit, which doesn't put any water in anybody's faucets at all. And so I'll just leave my comment with that. And
okay, to follow up on that, really what the courts have said is you can't encourage conservation by penalizing heavy water users. The cost that you charge people has to have somewhat resemblance to the cost of providing that water. The reality is we don't sell enough water at those upper tiers to make up the revenue that we need. We sell the most water at the lower tiers, and that rightfully spreads the pain to everybody. And that's just the reality. We cannot generate, the schools are some of our biggest users. We're going to lose some of our bigger accounts to recycled water from the treatment plant when that comes around. So we're dealing with the loss of some of our bigger clients. And we cannot generate the revenue by putting it all on the upper tiers. And the courts have kind of said you can't just do that to encourage conservation. You kind of have to try and spread the pain evenly. And that's what we're trying to do. One of the things to take away is that our rates are still very comparable to all other municipalities around here. They're going to stay that way. We don't have a profit motive, so you can't really compare us to Golden State and that kind of thing. And I almost addressed that question because I know that's the big one I've been hearing from people, is it looks like you're penalizing the people in the lower tiers that are doing the conservation. The reality is that's where the users are, that's where the water is sold, and that's where the revenue comes from.
Okay, Council?
I'd just like to make one comment on that I totally agree with the way you described how Prop 218 works. I would emphasize a little bit that we're Los Osos to ignore tiers, which would be the easiest legal way to avoid people's complaining. In fact, the lower tier would go up more than it is now. So what this board has done in conjunction with the citizens group that worked with the two different committees and whatever to arrive at this proposed rate structure is, to the best of their ability, complying with the law, ease the impact on the lower tier as opposed to taking just the easy way out, which would have been worse for people in the lower tier. I commend them for the accuracy of their work. You had really qualified citizens working on that, and their presentations were fantastic. I just went through in another public agency one of those $40,000 studies. I guarantee you that your presentation that you got was far superior to the $40,000 presentation that I watched in my other public agency.
Yes.
Just within the last couple of months.
Yes.
And so that's the end of my comment.
And those gentlemen actually were responsible for a rate study before the previous one, and they came very close that time. Why we decided to use a consultant, the Consultants Full Employment Act, I think, had kicked in about that time. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, seeing no other, real fast.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Yael Corin. I'm just wondering, and I don't know, so I'm saying I don't have the data. Are some of the higher tier users or families with more children or more household personnel, then that's why they're higher tier, and so they in a way would be penalized for using, they're not wasting water on lawns, they're using it, and the lower tier, like myself, is one or two people household. I'm just saying that we can have maybe the statistic, the data done, and maybe that would be the reason, but I would be compassionate towards them and say I don't want them to be penalized. They need the water. They're not wasting the water. And you enjoyed their money all those years, which you did not enjoy ours, and maybe our money that we saved, now we are turning it back to you. I mean, that's how I see it. So we saved money, now it goes back to you.
Thank you.
Sure.
Hi, my name is Frances. It's a little off topic, but it's something that I just wanted to ask. Years ago, we used to build houses here and other things, and we put a moratorium because we didn't have enough water and we had problems with nitrates and what's, you know, all that kind of stuff. But now that we have the sewer in, and now that you sound like you need people to buy your water, do you think that it's possible that you could put that in the agenda somewhere to lift the moratorium so we could build again?
Okay. Is that the
That's
end of
it.
Your comment? Okay. Okay. First things first, I don't know if we have there's probably a way to tease out the upper tier users and how big households are versus what are commercial accounts that might be. I haven't seen that analysis. I really don't know. And there's certainly a certain aspect of that. But even a big family, I think you'd have to be really big to get up in tier four. And getting back to what you said, there's a condition in the coastal development permit that is governing everything. The coastal development permit for the sewage treatment plant. And it said that until you demonstrate that you have an adequate water supply, fresh water supply, you will not be connecting vacant lots to the sewage treatment plant. Now, I don't know what it means to the Coastal Commission to demonstrate an adequate water supply, but we do know that the last round of monitoring from last October showed that our deep aquifer monitoring well at Pasadena, though it's not near any other production wells, is showing an increase in salt, an increase in salt, an increase in salt. So that salt water intrusion isn't just limited to a little cone of depression right around wells like at Rosina, Golden State's well, our well at Palisades by the library, where we used to see salt coming in, you'd back off the use of that well, the salt numbers would back off. That well at Pasadena is in the deep aquifer. There's no other production going on around it, and it's getting saltier and saltier. So that means that salt water is probably coming in a general front across, and we, until we have a handle on when that's going to stop, and it's out of our hands. It's the Coastal Commission that's controlling that.
My name's Nick. What's your solution for the saltwater intrusion? What's our long-term game plan? Because obviously it's not going away. So are we going to build something like a pipeline somewhere else where they have groundwater, a lake, you know, something more viable for the future? Because this community is going to die without water.
Yeah. Thank you. Director Ohilski would like to answer that, and we're going to have to move on after that.
As the chair of the Basin Management Committee, I think, unless you want, you can weigh in. So the long-term plan is we're not going to be taking surface water supplies. That's something that is precluded by our basin management plan. But the thought process is right now, by relocating the wells from the west side of the basin to the east side of the basin, that we'll be able to, by using that as the water supply, since that's recharged potentially by the creek there, that we'll be able to abate the seawater intrusion. So the plan right now is to relocate the wells to the east side of the basin from the west side of the basin.
We don't normally do follow-up questions, so I have to say that. But that's the bad news. The good news is you can email us at board@lososcsd.org. If you go to our website, locsd.org, all of our email addresses are there. I routinely answer my board email. We have a Facebook page of Los Osos CSD online now. We're here and available. There's staff in the office that can answer your questions, and we look forward to continuing to have a dialogue with the public about moving this program forward, because we think this is what's going to take to secure our water supply. So,
John, Eric, could I just piggyback on it?
Yeah,
because
sure.
I know he, but I would, if you send us some questions, Rob Miller, who's our district engineer, can respond to you, and he can give you any technical responses that you want from that respect. So if you send us an email, we'll have Rob get back in touch with you. Okay.
Can I just chime in for a second?
Sure.
And we have our Basin Management Committee next Wednesday at 1:30 if you want to come to that. So
just make sure everybody understands the board can't collectively respond to you off agenda, but individual board members can respond to individual emails. But there's some rules that they have to follow about only deliberating in public session, but you can communicate with individual board members and they can respond to you if they wish, and staff is available as well.
Okay, thank you. So with that, thank you everybody. We're moving along now to public comment for items not on the agenda. So this is things not covered by the rate study or other things that are on the agenda. 3 minutes each.
Hello, my name is Nick. This is a project that I am proposing at my own house. I have a very small home, and it fits in the requirements of the county to be a guest house. And what I'd like to do is turn that into a permanent guest home and take the water credits from that house and build a bigger house for my growing family. Is that something that you would allow me to do, or can I take out the bathrooms in the guest house and make it into a shop or something to that effect? That's my question.
I have to take questions at the end on this one. Okay?
Okay.
Steve Best with Love for Dogs. Chairman John Eric Storm,
I feel you have done this community of Los Osos a disservice with your petty and misdirected management of the Parks and Recreation Advisory Committee and a subsequent directive to the new chairmanship of the committee. Under the direction of the CSD, following a foolish and inappropriate path, which is wasting the meager resources of the money of the CSD, but also the good people of Los Osos, the time and opportunities for a better community, simply due to your own vain objectives. The CSD should be not in the business of designing and building dog parks for a certain segment of the community. Currently, the Parks and Recreation Committee is seemingly devoting most of its time to learning all it can about parks and designing parks and dog parks, which is substantially demanding the time of the staff and also disproportionately using taxpayer funds. And then also it appears that it's going to be expecting us a disproportional amount for construction funds as well. And lastly, they have made it abundantly clear that this is all going to be a closed-door process. Currently, when the committee is asked about what to do about other needs for the community for regarding parks and other bike paths and sporting events and other in a real parks department, they're told we're taking baby steps. We're going to see how this project goes and what's going to be happening. It depends on how this project goes and for the rest of Los Osos, and I think that's just unsatisfactory. I still don't know what happened to the meeting that happened between General Manager Renee Osborne and the Love for Dogs board members, Melanie Mahan and Susan Robertson. What they discussed at the meeting, but what was end result was they stopped the local dog park group. Why was your best buddy Melanie Mahan at, from Morro Bay joining the Losas dog park group, and what kind of deal did Susie from the pet store make with the CSD? If there was nothing abnormal going on at all, then why, Chairman Storm, did you send me the odd and suspicious email that myself and all others who read the emails exchange feel as though that it was inappropriate and paranoid? It was abundantly clear that I was not wanted as a participant on the CSD functions. I get it. I stepped on your toes. Sorry about that. But the fact is, you didn't know what you were doing at the time. And then finally, when the minutes came out regarding the November Parks and Recreation Committee meeting, you had it. It was.
Thank you.
Put forth. It was false and inaccurate.
Thank you.
Should have known better.
Good evening. I'm Julie Tacker, and I sent your board a letter this week, and none of you have responded. And it highlights a concern that I've really a trend that I've been seeing with regard to your board packs and the. And I don't know if this is a website problem or if it's just operator. You know, you had somebody under Mr. Campa that was doing the website work, and you don't have that person anymore. But the website doesn't reflect the record of the district accurately, and I pointed that out to you. And so I would like to hear back from somebody. I think I took the time, and you should take the time to respond. What I really picked apart that agenda packet, because what is on the website and what was in the room differed greatly. What I find most disturbing today is that this board packet has no minutes from that meeting. So there's no record to check the record because there's no minutes from the April 4th meeting. So I'd like you to look into it.
Thank you. Any other public comment for items not on the agenda? Okay, so the question about the permit, I'd encourage you to get in touch with staff during business hours. That may or may not be something that we handle. Okay, moving on to administrative and committee reports.
fire department report.
Good evening, honorable directors and public and those out watching on channel 21 tonight. I'm Josh Taylor, battalion chief for the South Bay Fire Department, County Fire Station 15. For my May 4th board meeting packet, Station 15 responded to 130 calls in March with 9 simultaneous back-to-back calls. Of those, all the simultaneous calls required advanced life support. Of these 130 incidents, 88 were medical aids, 60 required advanced life support provided by our paramedics, and the remaining were traffic collisions, fires, public service assist, and other emergencies. Our reserve firefighters were called to cover the station or respond to emergencies in the month of March, a total of 7 times. During the month of March, the remaining 5 reserve candidate firefighters, Toby Bender, Joey DeAnda, Noah Munns, Chris Wheeler, and Sam Wright, completed their formal training, sign-off task sheets, and 24-hour shadow shifts. So they are covering shifts at the firehouse. On March 1st, 2017, Reserve Firefighter John Broyles resigned after 9 years with South Bay Fire to support his growing family. I want to add, too, he wrote a thankful note that, or he wrote that he was thankful for the role South Bay played to permanently change his course of life, to build me, to give me the tools, and to empower me. That was a direct quote for him. On March 9th, Reserve Firefighter Casey Jenkins resigned after 3 years of service to the community of Los Osos. He accepted a permanent Firefighter 2 position. From March 21st through the 25th, Cinderella Flooring completed the tile project in the kitchen, hallway, and day room. And on March 9th, Medic Rescue 15 returned from being serviced due to an engine failure. Upon its return, Medic Engine 15 was taken out of service for annual maintenance and ladder repair. All these repairs were completed as part of the Schedule D of our cooperative agreement with the County Fire Department at no charge to the district. And on March 19th, Medic Engine 215 was taken out of service due to an open internal switch valve in the transmission that caused the vehicle to only operate in reverse. Not very good. For training, on March 6, 2017, 2 of our 9 reserve firefighter candidates completed the introduction to Diablo Canyon and Hazard Awareness Course. They got on-site training about plant operations, essential systems, potential accident scenarios, and other important information responding to the power plant. The remaining 7 attended the course in late February. And from March 22nd through March 24th, Fire Captain Paramedic Colwell and Fire Apparatus Engineer Paramedic Walsh, along with 25 other CAL FIRE employees, attended our 24-hour continuing professional training. And they learned about auto extrication rescue systems for ropes and ladders. And this was the first of 4 mandatory training classes. And finally, on March 22nd, all established reserve firefighters in Company 15 attended the Diablo Canyon Power Plant Refresher Course. And that's the end of my report, unless you have any other questions.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you.
Sheriff's Department.
Hi, good evening. My name is Jim Vogue. I'm the new commander at Coast Station, and hopefully I'll be there a long time. So Jim Taylor went over to Civil Division. We had a retiree, and people got moved around, so very happy to be here because I do live in the Coast area, so it's kind of nice to police the same area that I reside in.
Welcome.
Thank you. During this last month, we had in Los Osos 163 calls for service. Just to give an example of what the largest number of these calls were, 14 suspicious subjects, 26 suspected criminal acts, 10 suspicious circumstances, 26 disturbing the peace, which is quite up, it seems, and 20 check the welfare, which is one of our most common calls, especially in areas where we have more senior citizens. to a couple of the highlights. We had a domestic battery on the 9th of April in the 400 block of Mitchell Drive, a grand theft on 1100 block of Napomo, where automotive tools and fishing equipment were taken from the site of a residence. Two more domestic violence, one a felony, one a misdemeanor, occurred on the 19th and the 22nd. We also had a shoulder tap. I don't know if you're familiar with that. That's where we work an undercover operation. We're funded by the state to do these. And what happens is we use an undercover operator that they tap somebody on the shoulder that's outside of a place that sells alcoholic beverages and ask them if they would purchase them some alcohol, and they give them money, and they tell them that they're under 21 years of age. And if the person does it, the person gets cited. And that's just an effort to keep that type of activity down. So it goes around the entire county. We had a grand theft on the 22nd of April, a Bosch Hog tractor mower, 1,000 pounds of mower, was taken from the 200 block of Mountain View. It was over about it was out in the open, was in a lot, but nobody broke into something to get it, but it was still quite a big theft. It'd take some doing to get that out of there, but it was over about a 2.5-week period of time. An air compressor and some tools were taken out of a garage, including a hard rock mountain bike on the 400 block of Highland. And we had a shoplift at Miners of some Makita batteries. And they're quite expensive, and the suspect came back into Miners and was identified, and we were able to effect an arrest on that. And on the 26th, a $400 weed whacker was taken out of the 2100 block of Mountain View. Just a couple of things I want to let everyone know about. Seems to be happening lately. Some of our scams, our telephone scams, I don't know if any of you have received them. When people aren't victimized, a lot of times we aren't called about them, which is, it's a good thing that you're not victimized. But to let you know, a couple of them that are pretty, or three of them that are pretty prevalent now, is the grandchild in jail scam. And you never think this is going to happen, but it does happen, because your grandchild actually calls you and has a very brief conversation with you, identifies themselves by your grandchild's name, and then gives you to their fake attorney who requests money. And I've seen this happen on several occasions. The one latest one in Cambria, the attorney told him that the best way to get money to him is to buy Target cards of $2,000 each and read the number on the back of the Target card. And a lot of the elderly are being preyed on this type of scam. And 3 days and $24,000 later, The victim finally called his son and grandson and found out he was fine. He was not in jail. They usually say, don't tell dad, and then here's my attorney. So, and, you know, people are very emotional in this thing. And, you know, as I said, they're usually elderly people. So it's really an unfortunate situation. IRS, around tax time, you're going to get IRS scams. And you know, somebody will say, I need so much money, you're short on your taxes, please send this to me. The other one, or PGE, has come up a couple times now. And somebody will say that we're shutting off the utilities unless you can get so much money. And a lot of times people are confused. No, I paid the bill. No, we haven't received it. But we need this type of money sent specifically. And it's always, you know, it's give me a card or something like that. It's never... It's obviously a fake situation, but, you know, people do get taken advantage of that. One last thing, because Los Osos is not unlike a lot of other our communities around here with some homeless issues. The Sheriff's Office has a new team called the CAT team, Community Action Team, which it stands for, which is really nice because they're able to handle homeless-type issues that come up that we get calls all the time about. And it's more of, I describe it, more of a holistic approach. It's not just an arrest or keep the peace or try to move people along. It's more of a or try to stop the problem. They try to look for places to take them, places to service them, places, you know, where they can spend the night, look at their mental health try to get their medication right for those with mental health issues. And they've been very valuable, particularly in Coast lately. So just wanted to tell you about that with the sheriff's office. And other than that, as I said, happy to be here. If you have any questions, I'm happy to answer them.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Utilities Department.
Good evening. With the leave of absence from our utility manager, we had assistance from Frank Asuncion, our utilities crew leader, and Liz Redvasky. She's our water billing clerk, so we're very thankful for their help with the utilities report. We were temporarily locked out of the utility manager's spreadsheets while she was gone, so we've remedied that, and we'll have the spreadsheets that everybody likes to see for the next meeting. Water production information, the total production for the month of March was approximately 13.72 million gallons. This equates to an average daily demand of 442,600 gallons. This represents an increase in production from last year by approximately 9.23%. Using the state's formula to calculate residential usage per capita per day, customers used 59.4 gallons per person per day for the month of March. Production and runtime hours by well site are below production time for the month of February. They were up. For 2017, it was 13.72. In 2016, the same time, it was 12.56. Runtime hours are also up. 2017 February, 1,632.9 compared to the same time last year at 1,338.5. Water billing information, 57% of the service area received bills for approximately 12.1 million gallons consumption for the February, for the period of February 8th through April 11th. This generated approximately $165,317 in revenue. Utilities Department operation and maintenance. During the month of March, the crew provided weekly water sampling. Red water meters marked underground utilities, did groundskeeping at all sites, equipment maintenance, and submitted the monthly report to the state. In addition to these duties, crews repaired a water service line, checked drain inlets, repaired the 10th Street tanks altitude valve, performed dead-end flushing to bring the fresh water into those areas, began the valve exercise program, and performed fire hydrant maintenance. Rainfall totals. The county has a link to the rain to the rain and reservoir information. You can see also see that on our Facebook page. Those numbers are below. Drainage. The district complies with the General National Pollution Discharge Elimination System permit for stormwater discharges for small municipal separate stormwater systems. Bay Ridge Estates. This subdivision was hooked up to the Los Osos Wastewater Treatment Plant collection system in early May of 2016. There are 9 remaining septic tanks to be decommissioned. A notice of termination will be filed with the state on the referenced waste discharge order once the County of San Luis Obispo accepts the transfer documents. Until these documents are finalized, our crew continues monitoring and responding to backups in the system. Vista Doro. This subdivision was hooked up to the Los Osos Wastewater Plant collection system in April of 2016. Again, a notice of termination will be filed with the state on the reference waste discharge order once the County of San Luis Obispo accepts the transfer documents. Until these documents are finalized, our crew continues monitoring and responding to backups in the system. And I don't know if the board has any questions you would like me to address or look up for you. Nope.
Nope. Okay, General Manager Report.
Okay. Staff has been working with all departments on the mid-year adjustments and the 2017-2018 budgets. Staff is working with auditors to complete an interim field work assessment for the 2016-2017 audit in order to prepare and schedule for the 2016-2017 audit in August. We're trying to get a head start so we're not doing this too late in the year. With the absence of the utility supervisor, all staff has been assisting to make sure nothing is being missed. Water and drainage staff has been getting quotes to replace the district generator that has gone beyond air quality control standards and has become a safety hazard. Instead of purchasing a new generator, which would have cost us about $59,000, the water crew has found a used generator for $18,000 and can purchase a one-year warranty for $2,890. Staff is requesting approval for this item under agenda item 11E. Staff has been working on updating quotes for the capital improvements project. Water and fire staff have been met regarding the weed abatement and fire hydrants throughout the district. Staff has been working on updating safety in the district office as well as the water yard, well houses, and trucks in order to stay compliant with the OSHA regulations. Regarding fire, staff has been working with fire on the mid-year adjustments and the 2017-2018 budget. Parks and Recreation, staff is continually working with the county to move the dog park project forward. Just recently, we received a call from the county, and we have been moved up to next week for them to start working on the lease. Staff, I spoke with Lonnie Lepore from Walls Group regarding the special district tax roll. The contract is for $3,500 and attached to the GM report. The special district tax roll portion is not covered by the NBS contract. We've been working with Council, Rob Miller and I, on the Prop 218 notice, which was sent out on April 28th. I've been attending the integrated regional water management meetings in hopes of looking for a Prop 1 grant fundings for some of our projects, and am currently working on the abstracts to turn in with Rob Miller so that we can hopefully receive a grant. And that is all. If the board has any questions.
Any questions for the general manager? Seeing none, take the LOCAC report. Lynette.
Lynette Tornotsky, Julia Oberhoff, our chairperson, was unable to be here tonight. She asked me to give the report. I'm the LOCAC secretary. We welcome two new members, Margaret Mayfield and Jim Stanfill. And we have our sheriff's commander here, so he gave his report. There was no highway patrol report. The county staff report was given by County Senior Planner Carrie Brown. She reported on home additions in Los Osos for bedrooms and bathrooms. 6 months ago, those remodels were permitted for those homes hooked up to the sewer, but there has been a few snags. The three water purveyors are not on the same page. Golden State has been going ahead with these permits, but the LOCSD sometimes won't issue will serve letters. The county is working with the LOCSD to resolve this issue, and I see 11I on your agenda tonight. Looks like it will address that. Supervisor Gibson was there, and he gave his report on the Groundwater Sustainability Agency for the eastern part of the Los Osos Basin. They're still trying to separate our basin, what we think of as our basin, and that portion. He talked about the yearly budget, the airport, the women's jail, the decommissioning of Diablo. And he also brought up something that he would pass on to Public Works, but this is something the community could do too. It was brought up that the asphalt was cracking from the sewer project on Manzanita, so people who are finding that should please contact Public Works and tell them what the problem is. The number of people in phase one still not hooked up to the sewer, that question was brought up. Low-income people were told to hold off until the county's questionnaire for them could go out. For other people, there might be a penalty. The LOCSD report was given by Lou Tornotsky. And there was a question about, he gave the report on what we heard tonight on the upcoming water rate increase. And the question was given and answered by Supervisor Gibson that there were funds, there were no funds from the county to help low-income people because the county is not a water purveyor. Steve Vinson, who I see is here tonight, gave the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce report, so he can do that here. There were a couple of consent agenda items that were just routine projects. There were a couple of regular items on land use issues that might be of interest. There was a vacation rental request up in Cabrillo, and that was discussed. And also, Sea Pines is requesting a development plan to allow the expansion of the resort and to add a new single-family residence on that property. Also, another traffic issue came up. There's excessive speeding on Monarch Lane, and as we tell everybody who comes to our meetings, please join us at our Traffic and Circulation Committee meeting, which unfortunately we're not having this month, but that is the place to start your complaints when you find some traffic issue in your neighborhood. The Land Use Committee has a new chairperson, Margaret Mayfield. And we had quite a discussion on the possibility of reinstating the Community Outreach Committee, which is a committee of LOCAC that hasn't been operational for some time. The next meeting, we'll be talking about that committee and also to review the LOCAC protocols and procedures. Also, I think our next meeting would be May 25th, 2017. We invite everybody to come to that. Also, Chairperson Oberhoff will contact the LOCSDs, John Eric Storm and Vicki Millage, about a presentation on their proposal to talk about land use issues between the CSD and LOCAC. So be expecting that. Thank you. Any questions? Oh, we also have a new website. Sorry. Yes. Thank you. LOCAC.info, and it's really quite nice. I invite you all to take a look at it.
Thank you. Chamber of Commerce.
Mr. President, members of the board, members of the public, I'm Steve Vinson with the Los Osos Baywood Park Chamber of Commerce. Last night we had a joint chamber mixer with Morro Bay and at Sage Ecological Landscapes, and it was very well attended. There was a lot of food, drink, and music. And I'd just like to point out that the public can also attend. Just you don't need to have a business card or anything. Come in and meet some of the movers and shakers of the community. So that was in conjunction with Morro Bay, so we're going to return the favor. And on May 23rd, there's going to be a joint mixer at Junkied Love, which is $6.99 Embarcadero in Morro Bay. So that's May 23rd. We're still sponsoring the travel to Tuscany in the fall. We're offering a fully escorted tour of the awe-inspiring region of Tuscany that departs October 24th. We got four people to sign up since I was last here. There's going to be another presentation sometime in the summer, and I'll let you know when that happens. Last thing is we have postponed the Festival of Flavor. It was scheduled for May 19. The executive board's going to meet next week, so I'll pass on any information to you as it becomes available. So, again, the Festival of Flavor on May 19 is postponed. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks.
Parks and Rec Committee. Director Tornatsky.
The Parks and Rec Committee met 2 days ago and had a spirited discussion about our action agenda and what we're trying to do. We decided with some heated discussion here and there that we're going to focus on trying to move to a dog park. Then we had a good discussion about, well, how do we get from where we are now to the magic land? So one of the things we're going to try to do over the next month and a half, perhaps, is identify what are the key features you need to have in a dog park for it to work. And there is a literature on that, and we're going to collectively try to see how we all feel about it. There are other issues that will be taken care of, and Renee mentioned there's some other things that may accelerate this whole process. Now, there is interest for other kinds of things that come under the rubric of parks and recreation. We're going to get to them as soon as we possibly can.
Thank you. Utilities, Director Cicina.
Utility Advisory Committee met the third Wednesday last month, and basically we just updated everyone on the rate study and the actions that came out of the special meeting from the 11th, I think that was, and talked about outreach and specifically how do we get out in front of the chatter on social media and that kind of thing, and that's where the letter to the editor and the press release came from. So that's basically all we did.
Okay, thank you. Finance, Director Ohilski.
Yes. So the finance, pardon me, the finance committee met, and we discussed the warrants and the financial reports. So the committee recommended that you go ahead and approve both of those items, although they did have some questions about the mid-year budget adjustment that I will bring up when we get to that particular item.
Okay. Director's announcement of district and community interest in reports on attendance at public meetings, training programs, conferences, and seminars. Vice President Millage.
Director Cicina and I spent 2.5 actually pretty darn interesting days in a special training a couple of weeks ago. And I think we're both going to be bringing stuff back to the council, one way or another. I'm sorry.
You attended the CSDA Leadership.
Leadership Academy.
Yes, thank you. The CSD Leadership Academy. You should all have read that from my mind. it was lively at sometimes.
Yeah, I found it very helpful. There were a lot of examples on financial reports and a very interesting session on public relations and communication and staying in touch with your community that was extremely timely. We did talk about getting together and giving the board a presentation, and it's just been so much going on, we haven't had a chance to do that. But it was highly recommended 2.5 days of Leadership Academy training.
All right, any other events? Well, I attended the Fiesta and Coronation Ball of the Bayoses Filipino Community Association, which is just a lovely event. Great food, great little slice of culture there that's present right here in our town. And I almost forgot, but was reminded earlier, I attended on behalf of the SLO County Jewish Federation. I attended a Holocaust memorial ceremony at the state capitol. My son and I had the honor and privilege of sitting on the floor with Assemblyman Cunningham while we received an award on behalf of the late Irving Klein, who was a member of our community, who was a survivor of Auschwitz from Hungary, and he is missed in our community. So that was very special for my son and me. There are no previously asked questions that we have on the agenda. So before I go to public comment for items on administrative and community reports, are there anything to be pulled or perhaps tabled?
Yes, I would like to do one of each, if
okay.
I could. I would like to table 11H. I think that, and this is what I was going to talk about as far as the Financial Advisory Committee. They did have some, I thought, good comments at the last meeting about additional information that needs to be provided on that sheet, which has to do with what the budget was for this current year, and that's not included on those sheets. So I would propose that we go ahead and pull that and continue that to next month. And then the second one is I'd like to pull 11I.
Okay, so why don't we, so you're saying we should, and I think I agree, table H, and just we can integrate any comments we may have on that in 12A
without approving it. Okay, so the motion, I guess, would be table H, pull I, approve everything else.
You got to have public comment first.
But. Well, and yeah, then we have to have public comment, but right. Just so that I'm clear over here. Okay.
I'd like to, exactly.
In other words, we're still taking public comment on H because that's only being tabled, but I is being pulled so that we're going to have it at 13. Right.
But okay. As you mentioned, the comment on 11H could be included in the public comment on 12A because they're contiguous.
That's what I was thinking. Okay. Public comment.
I'm Julie Tacker, and you really can't have a outline of a motion until you've heard public comment because you may change your mind on all kinds of things.
True.
Due to my comments or anyone else's. I am Julie Tacker, and sort of in random order, speaking to the mid-year budget, 11H, your staff was directed specifically, directly, not to go there. That was the recommendation from finance and brought to your board last month, that you were not going to do a mid-year budget adjustment. So why this ended up on an agenda and then without the recommendations for a mid-year, the formatting and that there is no reference to 16-17 surprised me. The absence of the utility supervisor, the one thing that I always like to look at in that utilities report is the historic data associated with water use over the last year and the revenue, and that's not there. So I hope that that can be caught up and brought to your board again in the future. The recommendation for purchasing a new generator or to purchase a used generator, I'm of the mindset that a used generator, you don't know that piece of equipment, and you don't want to buy someone else's problems. And with the purchase of a new generator, you are likely to have a 15 to 20 year lifespan with that piece of equipment. You've maintained it. You know it inside and out. I think your board should pull that for discussion and maybe send staff back with some of your thoughts. I don't know if Utilities Advisory Committee took that under advisement and made any recommendation. Your staff report doesn't say that it does. But I remember when the district was forming and we bought the first generator, nobody wanted a used one. That is too important to have it break down and have someone else's problems, like I said. I was also confused by the contract with Wallace Group associated with the tax roll. Yes, that's been our practice year after year after year, but I distinctly recall Mr. Campa telling you that NBS was going to be taking that on. Maybe the details of the contract don't provide for that, but that was part of why you went with NBS. They were going to be taking over those duties. There's my time.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comment on administrative items and committee reports? Okay, I'll close public comment and bring it back to the board.
As soon as I find the right page here, I'll make a motion. So I'll move that we go ahead, pardon me, I'll move that we go ahead and receive and file and approve the items on the consent, or pardon me, receive and file the administrative committee reports and approve the items on the consent agenda with the exception of items 11H and 11I.
Second.
May I ask that we specify that H is tabled and I is pulled?
So, yes.
You accept?
Yes, accept
okay.
That.
Motion is on the floor. Any further discussion? Seeing none. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstentions? Okay. Motion carries. I don't think there's any resolutions, are there?
Okay. No, that's what I was checking. So yeah. I do vote yes, but okay. I wanted to check
right,
that.
Once again, I apologize. I had the surgery. I'm not 100% mentally, even if 100% mentally is 100% for most people. So, okay, moving on to general action items. Review of proposed draft budget for fiscal year 2017-18. Ms. Osborne? So at this point, we're just giving direction to
yes.
staff on the budget.
Yeah.
This isn't an approval. This
exactly.
is a rough draft.
Yes. Attached is a proposed just working document for the 2017-2018 budget for all the district. We also have an addition to some of the property tax authorizations for you to view as well. The only, I'm not sure how you want to do this. Do you want to go from page to page to look at something? If the board has had a chance to look at the budget, if you had any questions you want us to address and look into. The one thing that stuck out at the finance committee meeting was the actual bank service fees is on the administration portion. So Rabobank, the manager is on vacation, so we'll be meeting with her next week, hopefully, so to discuss those items, discuss that those fees.
Why don't you give us the highlights for the benefit of the audience, and then if the board has questions, answer those, and then we'll take public comment and go from there.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. As far as administration goes, as far as highlights are, one of the things we wanted to do on page three, as far as administration goes, was in under legal and professional services, typically under one particular code, all professional contracts are all into one and lumped into one. And so what we want to do for the 2017-2018 year is pull the general manager's fee out so that you can see exactly what it is every single month, and the same with the account, the bookkeeper. So that way that's kind of tracked separately and more visually. That's on page three. And another highlight. And so in the end, compared to, as far as on page five, in the end compared to the 2016-2017 budget for administration, we're proposing in the 2017-2018 budget a $38,000 decrease in that particular budget, and that's for administration. As far as Bay Ridge goes, that's pretty simple. As far as the property tax, that's already allocated out. The water crew leader predicted a 5% time spent in Bay Ridge, so that's how we came up with those numbers for payroll. How much time they're going to spend there, of course, that will vary depending on the year, but that's what we—that's how we came up with those numbers for Bay Ridge. And let's see, the fire department is still here, so if there's any questions on that, or if anybody has any questions, they can answer those. But again, they're still, I think even at this point, fire has made some changes to the budget, so this is still, as I mentioned, a live document. As far as, let's see, Vista de Oro goes, same thing, property taxes are listed under revenue, crew predicts very minimal time in this area, so that he didn't even give me a percentage. Water department. Water. We based the revenue off of the rate structure that was given to us by the rate committee. So that's where we came up with those numbers. Of course, depending on how everything goes, that can be different and we'll have to adjust again. But for now, we use those numbers. So that's where we came up with the revenue. The water chief predicts 65% crew time in the water department. So that's where we came up with the salary time, crew time spent there. And that is a decrease in
as far as a reason for decrease in expenses were 75% compared to 16-17 budget. So that's why that's a little bit lower than last year as well. And let's see, another highlight. As far as expenditures go, we did show a little increase in under buildings and structures and such for the recognize the Third Street repair. We have an issue over there with an electrical pump. That's only about a $2,500 increase, so that's something we're going to address there. That is about the only things that caught my attention. Capital outlay, we're looking at because of the 8th Street aquifer well, that project was a tiny bit more expensive than we thought, but the second phase is definitely a lot less expensive. That's we had predicted $540,000, where we're only looking at $250,000. We just sent out a request for proposal on that construction, so we'll have real numbers hopefully soon, so we'll actually can insert that in there. And let's see. Oh, well, something new that we did that it will follow behind the water department is the water fund, the restricted fund balances. So we went back a little bit just to make sure, compared to all the way to the 2014-2015 audit, the numbers, so that we could make sure that we were on target. And since we moved, we've been working on the MIP program, that the billing program that the district has as far as revenue goes, and accounts receivable as well as accounts payable. We just wanted to make sure that these funds were balancing right, correctly as well. And so that sheet is also attached, and it's more like a spreadsheet. So that's what that is about. That was just something new we did to track some numbers. As far as drainage goes, the water crew predicts about 30% time in drainage, and this is solely based on the amount of time that they had to spend this particular rainy season compared to last time. We underestimated that because of the rains, and so that is why we came up with 30%. Again, that can change depending on how when the rainy season starts and ends next year. So that's where we came up with the amount for salary and pay during, you know, in that particular area. And also under, which is towards one of the last pages of drainage, we're looking at the capital outlay. We're looking to increase because of a pump purchase and control panel at 8th Street drainage area. We're looking at $57,000 increase in the in the capital improvement project fund, so that we can pay for that pump and control panel. Hopefully, depending on the pump that we want to purchase, a new pump would obviously cost a lot more, but we are hoping to find parts for our pump because it has been looked at, and the motor part of it is in great shape. It's just the canisters that they're connected to that have gone bad. So if we can do that, we can save the district and only end up having to pay about $10,000. So that's what we're hoping for there. And as far as park and rec goes, this is just our start on this, but depending on, I'll have to talk with council, if we start working on the lease and such, that's obviously legal. It's probably going to go up a little bit. So for now, we had total expenditures at about $4,000 because we're only looking at professional services that would actually impact this particular fund. But we'll have to sit down with Roy and see what he thinks we should put that. And that's just a little quick highlights on those particular budgets. And again, we encourage you to, if you see anything that you'd like have questions on, to let us know so we can look into it.
Council?
Thank you, Board President. I did have a comment because I have a personal preference on not the dollar amounts, but how we budget for district council. And I'm going to apologize because I don't understand the accounting system. and I don't want to understand the accounting system. And so if I end up just creating work that can't actually be done, then we'll have to say, oh, never mind. But my preference, if it can be done, would be to have one budget item that budgets the anticipated overall cost for district council, and then we can allocate the actual expenses to different funds, because I can match project time to whatever fund it is, so we know exactly how much of my time was ended up being allocated. But just a personal preference to be able to look at one spot and generally see what the best prediction is on what attorney's fees are going to be, instead of having to fumble through to cobble it all together. It's just, I think, easier to be able to look in one spot if that's something we can do.
Okay. Any questions from the board?
No, this looks familiar to what UAC has been looking at. The same questions are still there. So we'll just wait for the next update at committee meeting.
And yeah, and the Financial Advisory Committee went through the details that Renee started to go into at our last meeting. So we're looking to have that come back with us. So.
Okay. One thing I would really appreciate is if when the packet's put together, the pages could be assembled so that you don't have to be flipping. Tendinitis, you know. I'm getting old. Yeah, okay.
Okay, any other questions from the board? Public comment.
Julie Tacker, and I would like, I've been asking this for a while, to see the 2016-17 final budget numbers as part of your spreadsheet, because the 2016-17 final budget is not on your website. It was adopted at a special meeting. And that special meeting is not linked to the website. That special meeting was not televised, so you can't go back to a tape of that meeting unless you ask for it from Ann through the public record process. I have a hard copy, but I don't carry it around with me. And so in order to really compare what you did, what you proposed, what you thought you were going to do last year, with what you think you're going to do this year versus your actuals year-to-dates, you got to have all that information to base your future on, because you just do. This part doesn't work for me. And something that caught my attention at the Finance Committee meeting was the general manager's contract amount for next year is proposed at $96,000. We know that the contract this year, because it was adopted in November, is $78,000. So why the difference? And when the question was asked at finance, your general manager said that that was the number in last year's budget. But see, we don't have that column to compare. But because I remember what that number was, and I went back and compared it to my hard copy, the number that you adopted for 2016-17 was a range. Mr. Campa was trying to kind of sell himself to you, and the range would be $114,000 to $140,000. So $96,000 is a new number. And I'm not comfortable with the number. I'm also not comfortable with, and I mentioned this before when we talked about the rate increase, that you have chosen, someone has chosen, how to divvy up the 10% administration that's not fire and not water. 6% to drainage, 1.5% to Bay Ridge, 1% to Vista, and 1.5% to Parks and Rec. When was that discussed, and can you fix it? May I have one more thought? With regard to Parks and Rec, you have no revenue stream. You cannot fill that back up. So while you're drawing it down with administration and then the time and materials associated with whatever you decide to do cannot be refilled. So I would ask that you only bill Park and Rec time and materials. Have your administrator, have your assistant, and your attorney track their time and bill only that. And find another way to have that formula spread over the other funds, because Parks and Rec, you're just going to burn the money up and it's gone.
Thank you. Any other public comments on review of proposed draft budget? Okay, bringing it back to the board. I don't think we need any kind of formal motion if we have some questions or anything we want to ask.
I just think including the past year's budget is a critical column in this, which we've talked about. So I think that Financial Advisory Committee made a lot of detailed comments. I mean, we went through this line item by line item by line item, and Renee has pages and pages of notes, as do I. So I think it's something that's moving along, but I think that, you know, that's the key component right now is getting the current fiscal budget in there. So,
and to the extent, I mean, the actuals too, because that's where we're going to see if we have a fund balance and how off or on those guesses were last year. It was a different person doing the budget. It was a different scenario, and hopefully we've improved on it too. So,
well, I was going to say that too, for the members of the financial advisory that have been on this committee for a few years, they're very, very complimentary of the formatting now and the information that's being provided, because, the committee wasn't being provided that information, or it was being provided in a format that was not as straightforward as it now. So although all the accountant and bookkeeper types will say that public accounting is inexplicable, but they do agree that this is much, much more readable and there's much more information there.
Yeah, who knew accountants could be like lawyers? So confusing. I agree that the spreadsheets, we've been asking for a while to have the prior year's budget, not just some mythical approved mid-year budget number, which we keep either dealing with or not. I think it's May. I think we can let an adopted mid-year for last year go. It's the current status that matters, the actuals up to this date that matter. But that prior year's budget would be the starting point for where you look at the current situation to be able to get you to next year. So I think I really would like to see that on those tables.
Right. Okay. Anything else? Okay, let's move along back to what is now 13A, pulled item 11I, procedure for remodel permits during Stage 3 water emergency declaration. District Council?
Thank you, Board President. John Eric Storm. I'll try and be, the staff report itself is fairly brief, but I'll be even briefer. Basically, we had a general discussion at our last meeting in regards to this ongoing issue with the county being in charge of the planning process and requesting will serve letters for existing properties that are already served water. And you directed it to have us bring it back on the agenda for action. What I've suggested here is that since the county has indicated a willingness to address changing their process so that they don't ask Los Osos for will serve letters, which that term has a very specific legal meaning in the Los Osos code, but instead ask for a confirmation of existing service on these types of remodels. I've also recommended in the staff report that if you take action tonight, it just directs us that if we do get a letter requesting a will serve on a piece of property that is already being served water, that we be able to respond and just confirming service. And so if the county ends up accepting that, they can go ahead and issue their permit. And that's the staff recommendation this time. I can answer any questions you might have.
I just wanted to explain why I pulled the item, if I could.
Yes.
And I appreciate the staff report, and I think it does take into account the direction we talked about last time. My concern is one simple thing, and it could be addressed by just one word or a couple words being added to the motion. What I just want to make sure is that I have no problem with people doing a remodel, and, you know, what I don't want to see happen and where my concerns come in is I'm really concerned about people adding bedrooms, okay, because that increases the water consumption. So what I would, my thought was I would just amend the motion to say respond where letters confirming support. Pardon me, service already exists as long as there's no additional bedrooms being proposed. That's where I'm coming from on that. I have no problem with fixtures. I just, when you add bedrooms, you're adding people. So that's my theory. That's why I pulled the item, and that's what I would like to propose.
Okay, any other questions?
I would just say I'm in total agreement with that thought process. I didn't realize we were going to try and amend that into this motion, but I totally agree. It's not the number of fixtures in a house. They don't operate themselves. You know, I feel for people wanting to add a bathroom that might make their current condition a little more livable. But I'm not ready to add increased water use. I mean, I was the single no vote on the six rooms to be added to the bed and breakfast, even though everybody seemed to think they already had approvals. I'm not ready to loosen up on water restrictions yet, but I don't think toilets flush themselves.
So do we have to amend it for haunted houses? Sorry, it's that painkillers. Okay.
I just wanted to lay that out there. John Eric, I wanted to lay that out there before public comment so people can understand why I had what my proposal was going to be.
Yes, I'm glad to hear that. Okay, so public comment.
Julie Tacker, I have a thing or two to say about this too. I agree with the bedrooms potentially adding intensified uses because you're giving the ability for a larger family to move into a home. The problem is you can't do that in your district if Golden State's not doing it in theirs. I had a conversation with Daniel Robinson at the Coastal Commission about this because fundamentally, and I've brought this to your board before, if three one-bedroom homes add another bedroom, what is the difference for one three-bedroom house being added to the basin? There's no difference. But when I had this conversation just a week ago with Mr. Robinson, he said adding a bedroom does not necessarily intensify use. So you're not going to win unless you take it to the commission to somehow clamp down on the intensified use. And if you can't, I really don't think that it would be equitable if you do it and Golden State doesn't. I think you might be inviting some litigation. I think with regard to the actual issue before you, it can and will serve is appropriate in that you already are serving. When you have if it's somebody else asking for an intent to serve, that's a vacant lot project, that's an intent to serve, will serve you when you come around and we surely have water at that time. But I agree, Marshall, the bedroom adds the potential for intensified use, but you can't do it here if they're not doing it there. And until you're ready to implement the Water Code 350 moratorium, I don't think you can do that. I don't think it would be right to do that. So, but I think the immediate issue in front of you is very simple, in that you have a can and will serve for those who are remodeling their homes.
Thank you. Any other public comments on remodel permits?
Lynette Tornatsky, I'm a member of LOCAC, but I'm not speaking for LOCAC. We see an awful lot of these projects go across LOCAC for adding bedrooms and bathrooms, and there's really nothing that we can do to not approve that. The county seems fine with it. So my question is, why is this disparity between what Golden State is doing and what you guys are doing and what S&T Mutual is doing, why is this not addressed at the Basin Management Committee level? Because it should be all three water purveyors saying the same thing. So I just thought I'd bring that up, that we're seeing even a property in the Martin Tract. It's a two-acre property that's going to be going to the Coastal Commission to have a sewer hookup. Well, that sort of assumes they're going to have a water hookup. And it's just starting, what's going to be starting bigger and bigger is, once we're all sewered, what is the next step to try and curb growth? The water issue is huge, and I am confused as to why the Basin Management Committee isn't really addressing this. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Nick, so I'm a local resident. I've lived here my entire life. I have a growing family, and I need more bedrooms. That's just a fact. And I don't know, you guys have already had your children and let them move on, and you're telling me that I can't let any more people grow in my house just because you don't want to? I mean, you say you're going to drill another well. Drill the well. Let's grow the city. We need growth. Obviously, I mean, everybody wants it. Let's figure this out. It's very upsetting. Very upsetting.
Thank you. Any other public comment?
Hi, I'm Frances, Nick's mother. I've lived here my whole entire life, and I built a house here, and I raised 5 children. My house is empty, and I have a lot of empty bedrooms. Nick is down the street in the house that he wants to add a bedroom to. I only use 1 bathroom. I have 3 bathrooms. So the thinking that you're using isn't really accurate. I have friends up and down my block have also raised their family and have empty houses, you know, empty bedrooms. So I'm not sure if you went out and had a bunch of people interviewed and asked them how many people are living in their house and how many people are in their bedrooms, if you're going to have a bunch of them empty or not, because it kind of feels like that on my street and all the other streets where my other friends live. So I feel like you need to really consider that when you talk, like all the bedrooms are filled with all these people. That's not the case, and not at least on my street.
Thank you.
I think that we should think about our future community. Without families and children, it will die. My name is Yael Corin. Families have to move in here. So if family moves in here, there'll be needs for more bedrooms. And hopefully we'll have water. If we don't have water, all this is completely irrelevant, what we're saying. So in the condition that we do have water, we'll have to build. We'll have to build affordable housing. We'll have to build. Families will have to move in. And I hope that we'll welcome them.
Thank you. Any additional public comment on the remodel permits? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board.
I'd just like to clarify something. We're not saying you could not add additional bedrooms. That's not the issue here. You still can. You have to get a will-serve letter. All we're saying is if you don't add bedrooms, you don't need a will-serve letter. So you can still add bedrooms, and you have to meet the county code requirements for water offsets. So this is not precluding that from happening. It's allowing that to happen. What it's saying is if you're not adding bedrooms, you don't need a will-serve letter. We're trying to simplify the process for that. So I think that's the whole issue here. At least that's why I brought it up the way I brought it up.
Okay. Any other thoughts?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I have a couple of other thoughts. There are three lawyers in the room, the lawyer we pay, and I tend to listen to, notes very clearly that a water purveyor can limit water use during an emergency and can base that limit on the number of persons making use of water, but the district may not regulate how many people live in a house. I would think that that would apply to anything that we tried to do with the intent of limiting the number of people in the house. Am I interpreting that correctly?
We are currently in a stage three. So we have, because of the stage three, we do have discretion over when we issue will serves and what we respond to at the county level. I will tell you that the district itself has no planning authority. The county may decide to change its rules to issue building permits without asking for a will serve letter on properties that exist. But I think if a motion is carefully drafted to qualify an exception to the Stage 3 drought declaration, that would be sustainable. With a staff hat on, as opposed to counsel to the board, I'd want to know what a bedroom is, because the first thing I do if I'm out there building and I even go to the trouble of getting a permit for my remodel, which many people don't, is I figure out what the definition of a bedroom is and I build one without one of the necessary elements. For instance, if a bedroom has to have a closet to be a bedroom as opposed to something else, then I just build the room without a closet, and I put a nice big armoire in there to include everything, and so I've complied. So at a staff level, I'd want to give some time thinking about how it's going to work for us. How do we know when it's a bedroom or not? Because we can't restrict the number of people who live in a house. We can restrict water use based on the number of people during an emergency. And I'm using the word emergency instead of drought because that's what we have here. We don't have just a drought. We have other reasons that affect your water use, and you have an emergency declaration that's in place and properly so. But we can't go count people. And so someone wants to comply with the building code and stack three or four kids in one room, they can't.
I'm going to interject that I'm going to need two more pieces of information before I can decide on this myself. First is, to what extent can we or can and must we synchronize our policies with Golden State? Because it always has struck me since I've been on the board, you know, I understand we have different sets of rules, but we have one basin, and I'd like to think that by our actions we don't. I mean, you know, we actually are solving something, and that, you know, all the building won't just go on the other side of town, and we end up with the same or worse issue on the basin. So that's one thing I worry about. And two, if and this sort of extends on what council just said, is there something we can get from engineering or somebody who's been down this road before that is a little bit more precise or a little bit more detailed about what kind of high impact uses there would be that we could class differently. You know, keeping in mind that the idea of this is that we're still going to let that process go on, just we're going to streamline it for the ones that we're sure are really low impact. So my question is, one, how do we sync that up with Golden State? Can we? Must we? And two, is there a state-of-the-art way of drawing the line between big impacts and little impacts that we can use instead of just bedrooms or something that can be subject to that kind of gaming? And so maybe that's something we need to bring back. I don't know.
And I... excuse me. What I thought the theory behind this was when the hotel or the bed and breakfast came was that we wanted to be able to allow people doing a remodel not to be denied that permit because they couldn't get a will serve letter. So that was the theory behind this, is my understanding. Because the county is requiring any additional fixtures right now a will serve letter, period. That, I mean, you put in a new toilet, you have to get a will serve letter. You put in a new sink, you have to get a new, you put in a new faucet, you have to get a new will serve letter. So the idea was here to try to allow people to move forward with remodels without having to get a will serve letter. So, you know, just, and so that's the theory here. So we're just trying to, and maybe it wasn't my intent ever to get to the big, big picture stuff because we do have the moratorium still in effect. It's just we're trying to expedite the process for people that want to do a simple remodel. So, you know, that's where I was coming from on this. So maybe the motion should just be the way it is, to work, to have staff work with the county staff and come up with a solution. But that's all I was trying to do, was allow people who want to do remodels to do them.
Right. And then, but you said as long as there's no new additional bedroom, then that would still come to us.
Right.
Okay. So I agree with that. I'm just wondering if that line that you drew, as so long as there's no additional bedroom, is there's another way of stating that that's more a more precise line between a higher impact and lower impact? If not, you know, if bedroom is the gold standard or whatever, then that's...
Well, I don't know. I just propose that as a way to do that, because as Chuck said, if you add just one faucet, I mean, that's not a significant impact, or you add one sink. But right now, if you do add a sink or a faucet, you have to get a will serve letter.
Yeah.
So we're just trying to expedite this process. So for people that are doing simple remodels, not a reconstruction of their entire house, that there would be a process that they could follow. So, I mean, that's why I pulled the item, was to have this discussion.
Yeah.
And I know staff can speak for staff, but I know they're frustrated because they have to deal with this.
Right.
You know, so we're just trying to see if there's a way we can expedite the process.
It sort of seems like the county wants to find somebody else to say no. I mean, just to put it bluntly.
Or to agree with their decisions.
Right.
This is a basin management committee issue, it seems, especially the question about Golden State and the different ways we might be handling these requests.
Well, we've had that discussion at Basin Management. The problem we have, and you're familiar with this, is that they're a public, you know, a PUC utility, and they have to play by a different set of rules than we do. So we've had this discussion. I mean, it goes way back to when John Seitz was our legal counsel, because we tried to come up with a coordinated thing, and, you know, so if they have to go through PUC, I mean, we're talking years lengthy process. So we're just trying to figure out a way, if there's something that we can do in the short term here to allow these remodels to occur. So
I think I'd like to hear from Golden State just what the PUC process is, what the problem is there. I mean, why I keep hearing PUC, the PUC, it's a lengthy process.
Well, they're issuing will serve letters now.
Is that their decision or is that the PUC's decision?
No, that's their decision.
Okay.
Because
then why is the PUC involved at all?
Because it has to do with the stockholders have to make a profit, and that's what it has to do with. So the more water they can
By denying will serves, they're denying their stockholders' profits.
Exactly.
I mean, Golden State is a for-profit company.
I understand that.
It is what it is.
Maybe had they taken this to the PUC several years ago, we'd be in a position to be able to deal with it.
So, I mean, I'd just like to see if there's something we can do in the short term here to allow this to move forward so people can move forward with their remodels. And if we want to stay with the motion the way it's drafted in the staff report, I'm fine with that, too.
I was comfortable with that until you kind of threw a curve, and I kind of like what you're trying to do. I don't know how to accomplish it in that motion.
Yeah, I don't know how to. May I?
Yes.
I don't know how to accomplish it with this process. I'm sort of by nature opposed to putting people in situations that we really can't control. But then making them do something that's shady, at least, in order to get the outcome that they want, that's not unreasonable. And that's where I'm coming from. I just don't wish to be part of that sort of game. It doesn't get us anywhere, as far as I can tell. It doesn't get us the outcome. I always ask, so what's the desired outcome? The desired outcome is controlling water use in our state of emergency. I get that. And adding this to our letter, it won't get us that. It just won't.
No, I'm fine with deleting the language and going with the motion the way it's in the staff report. I just think that I'm fine with that. I'm just trying to move this particular item along, as I said. I mean, major significant remodels still are going to require a will serve letter. So, pardon me, a will serve letter.
Okay.
As they should.
And so, go to LOCAC, as they should, right?
Yeah, go to LOCAC first.
So, Chair would like to entertain a motion at this time. We're public comments closed. I'm sorry.
I'll go ahead and remove my amendment, for lack of a better term, and then just make the motion as stated in the staff report.
Okay.
I second that motion.
And I think this is a very productive discussion, quite frankly.
Okay. Is there any further discussion? Okay, I'll just say I'm going to support this, but I want us to keep an eye on how many of these we're issuing and what they're for, just in case we have to bring it back and refine the process a little bit. So, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Abstain? Okay, motion carries. That concludes our agenda for the night. Does any director have a future agenda item?
Yes, like that.
Okay, seeing none, I'll take closing comments from the board. Any closing comments?
No, I just appreciate I appreciate the discussion on that last item, because I think that that's good information, and I do think the comment that you raised about we need to keep an eye on how this plays out is important. But I'd like to thank all the public for the comments and the input that we've had, too.
Director Tarnowski?
Yeah. The discussion about the rate change that's proposed, what I want to convey to people is that the committee that did this really worked amazingly hard. It was people here on this board and people in the community, and they went back and forth and back and forth. And what came up out of that was really righteous work. So it wasn't like, let's just do it in a glib kind of way. So we're trying to do the right thing. And the letter from Chuck, I think, captures this whole thing wonderfully.
Yeah, I'd like to just second that and thank Director Sassana again for taking the laboring oar on that letter. I thought it was a good thing. Once again, thank the Rate Committee staff, the Utility Advisories Committee, the Financial Advisory Committee, and all the directors that worked on that. And thanks to the public for coming out, and I hope we can you know, by getting the facts and information out there, you know, not get you to like that it's going to cost more. Nobody wants to pay more, and we don't do it lightly. You know, this is another thing that may, you know, impact some members of my family who may not find it as easy to live here after this over in the numbered streets. And so I take it seriously. I think we all have taken it very seriously. So I hope that even if we can't get everybody to like it, we can at least get understanding. So moving forward, that will be our goal. And I'd like to thank everybody for a good meeting. Meeting adjourned.